people across the world, the year 2021 has been much like 2020, thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic. But the mutual fund industry saw quite a few changes, with many key developments and regulations being put in place. But how will these changes impact the industry and investors? Let's find out. Hello and welcome, I'm your host Aisha, and you are tuned into Simply Save Podcast, Money Control's weekly personal finance show, where we discuss all things money. Last week, we discussed the impact of the once-in-a-century pandemic on the Indian insurance industry and policyholders. This week, we turn our attention to investments and taxation. For this, I am joined by Jash Kriplani and Preeti Kulkarni from our personal finance team to tell us how 2021 affected our finances. Hi Jash and Preeti, welcome to Simply Save.
Hi Aisha.
So my first question is to you, Jash. This year has been no less than a roller coaster ride. It has indeed been a tough year for many. But for investors of all kinds, including retail investors, it's been quite an exciting year, with the stock market indices scaling new peaks, except towards the end of the year. So as someone who has covered the mutual funds industry, could you take us through the key developments in this space in 2021? And what has the year been like for mutual fund industry and investors?
Yeah, Aisha, like you pointed out, stock market performance was pretty good this year. And that reflected in equity scheme performances as well. So if you look at the benchmark indices, Nifty, Sensex, both in year to date have given about 20% returns. Small cap and mid cap, the broader indices have given, 50% and 30% returns respectively. So it has been a good year for investors. But also, we have seen, some volatility now seeping in towards the end of the year. So we'll have to see how that shapes up in the new year. Also, because of the market euphoria, as it were, a lot of NFOs have also come in. Mutual funds are tapping into this euphoria, into these positive sentiments. And we have seen investors also lapping up these NFOs. We have seen record collections for NFOs, about 80,000 crore around that mark. So what we are seeing is that, investors' risk appetite is going up. Also, keep in mind that these are not your plain vanilla NFOs. We are seeing NFOs of very different hues and colors. We are seeing NFOs of, rule-based funds, smart beta funds, sector thematic funds, international funds, a lot of passive funds, index ETFs getting launched. So there has been a openness to experiment with new funds. Of course, it may not be advisable to have too many funds in your portfolio. And that's a subject that we have also covered in our stories. Another point is that, when you look at the contribution coming in through systematic investment plans, that has also gone up to about 11,000 crores. So retail investors are pretty much showing a lot of, willingness to invest in equity markets. And of course, it's all like we discussed, a function of how equity markets have rallied since last 1.5 years. Also, this is also seen in the primary market. So IPOs are getting launched in quick succession, one after the another. And retail investors' subscription to these IPOs, if you look, have been also pretty phenomenal, pretty strong. And especially these new age internet IPOs like Paytm, Nykaa, Zomato, which investors and, which are more consumer focused, and retail investors are again showing a lot of risk appetite. So yeah, all in all, this was a year when investors showed a lot of risk appetite, given the euphoria in markets, and have been open to try new investment ideas, new themes. That's how I would sum up this year.
Right, absolutely. And the mutual fund industry has also seen several regulatory changes this year. How do you think that this will impact the investors?
Yeah, so there have been a lot of regulatory changes. For one, the riskometer has been further enhanced. So the new riskometer lets investors see changing risk profile of their scheme. It's not static anymore. They can, see how the risks are changing based on how the scheme is investing in different type of securities, different type of assets. So that is one. Also, debt has been one of the main focus area of SEBI, especially after the Franklin episode. So there has been, a new regulation that has come in that will give a certain sense to investors of what can be the potential maximum risk that a debt scheme can take. Also, there has been a skin in the game rules for mutual fund employees with lock-in requirements. so that AMC's interest, so that the fund house's interest is completely aligned with that of the unit holders. So yes, the regulation have become tighter, but if you look at it, it's good for mutual fund investors. Also, one more regulation that just came in yesterday was, you know, SEBI putting it in their whole regulatory, in their regulatory framework, that whenever there is a wind up of a mutual fund scheme happening, unit holders vote is mandatory. And of course, this is, you know, on the back of Supreme Court's ruling in the Franklin Templeton case. So, you know, what we are seeing is that the industry has become tighter as far as regulations are concerned. But of course, it is good for investors at the end of the day.
Okay, okay. Now, coming to a question that I'm sure a lot of people have, and like you also mentioned, that there has been some volatility in markets. So what should mutual fund investors keep in mind?
Right. Yeah, so there are a few points that would help for investors to keep in mind. One is that they should not expect the repeat of last 1.5 years' performance, you know, where we saw very strong gains and in a very short span of time. So don't expect quick gains. Also, be prepared for volatility and keep a long-term horizon. Valuations in markets have run up quite a lot from where they were in March 2020 when the market crashed. So the market is likely to behave differently than what it had done in the last few months, few couple of years. Also, if your investment is near your goal, it might be a good idea to take profits. And if that's not the case, you can rebalance your equity allocation if it has gone beyond your original allocation. So for example, if you know the run up in markets has you know, led your equity allocation to becoming say 70% of your portfolio, and your original allocation was 60-40 equity debt, so you can take off that 70%, that is take off the 10% additional on your original 60% in equity and move it to debt. And you know, that's how you can keep your overall portfolio in balance, so to speak. So yeah, those would be, you know, some points that I think would help investors to keep in mind.
Okay, and since you mentioned long-term goals and horizons, I'd like to have some insights from Preeti here. So Preeti, retirement is also one such goal, right? And this year, the retirement focus schemes like EPF and NPS have also seen several changes. So could you speak about that?
Yes, yes, Aisha, you're right. In fact, the EPF, that is Employees Provident Fund Scheme, saw a major change this year after a very long time. So in Budget 2021, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman announced a tax on interest earned on employees' EPF contribution of over Rs. 2.5 lakh in a year. So this is the amount, as you know, that is deducted from our salaries every month. And until then, until this financial year, that is, EPF was completely exempt from tax, irrespective of the amount of contribution at investment, accumulation and maturity stages. So that was a major change. Those who contribute more than Rs. 2.5 lakh a year will have to pay interest earned on this excess amount.
Okay. And given that this tax has been introduced, should salaried employees now look at NPS to park this excess contribution?
See, the high earners, that is those whose basic salary is over Rs. 21 lakh, they have very little choice, as employers have to mandatorily deduct EPF contribution, as we discussed earlier, at a statutory rate of 12%. Now, only those of us, those whose contributions to their EPF plus VPF, that is the Voluntary Provident Fund, exceed Rs. 2.5 lakh a year, they will have to make a choice regarding redeploying this excess VPF contribution. And for such individuals, it does make sense to switch to NPS, given the higher returns it offers. EPF currently offers annual return of 8.5%, but this was announced, this was for financial year 2020-21. But on the other hand, for risk-averse investors, VPF is a better option despite this tax. That is because it offers assured returns. And on the other hand, NPS's returns are market-linked.
All right. So speaking of NPS, 2021 was a year of change for NPS too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In fact, the long pending revision in investment management charges, fund management charges, finally happened this year. So from just about one basis point, now the maximum fund management fee that pension fund managers charge has now gone up to 0.09 percentage point. And this is for equity schemes. So this has been in the works for quite some time, and it finally came into force this financial year, April 2021 onwards. And secondly, the PFRDA, the pension regulator, has also approved Axis Mutual Fund's application to be the eighth pension fund manager. And that apart, more pension fund managers are expected to come on board this year. And the PFRDA has also liberalized investment guidelines this year. So what this means is that the universe of stocks available for investment is now broader for pension fund managers. They can now invest in up to top 200 stocks instead of top 100 earlier. What this means is that they could invest primarily in large cap stocks earlier. Now this basket has got expanded. And while this could certainly mean higher returns for subscribers, people who invest in NPS, as we know, pension fund managers will now be able to invest in stocks beyond the large cap space. But what we also need to remember is that such investments come with relatively higher risks as well. So if you have a higher risk appetite, then you'll like this change.
Right. So since we're here, I'll also like to get your views on taxation. The last date for filing income tax returns is just 2 days away. While it is a tedious process every year, wasn't it particularly complicated this year?
Yes, it was, Aisha. In fact, the due date for filing income tax returns, which is July 31st every year, was extended twice. Initially, it was extended to September 30th and then to December 31st. That is, as you mentioned, just 2 days away. And apart from the pandemic, the other key reason for these extensions was the new income tax return filing portal that the tax department launched in September. So users, chartered accountants and taxpayers and others faced glitches right from the start. And in fact, at one point in time, the finance minister actually summoned Infosys CEO Salil Parekh to Delhi to discuss these glitches. Of course, the website is now up and running, but there have been cases of taxpayers receiving lower than expected income tax refunds and even notices for additional tax payment. And as we have written and we have discussed this earlier, this is what chartered accountants say is primarily due to data mismatch between Form 26AS, that is our tax credit statement, and the annual information statement that the income tax department introduced this year. And that apart, there have been calls from chartered accountants to extend even the current deadline of December 31st. This is because they feel that taxpayers faced a lot of challenges due to the new portal's glitches in September. So they feel that they need more time. They deserve more time to file tax returns this year. So now let's see if the government does pay heed to their demands in the next 2 days or so.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the last episode of Simply Save for 2021. Thanks for joining us, Jash and Preeti.
Thanks, Aisha. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Aisha. Thanks for having us here.
And that's a wrap for today. Hope to see you listeners tune into our podcast next year and hope you have a happy and joyful new year. You can visit moneycontrol.com for business and investment ideas and for news and opinions. And if you have any feedback, you can write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. Thank you for tuning in.